Okay, the Andy Finn Show is back, and we are talking about Bill O'Reilly thinking he can take on Bill Clinton, which is a severe mismatch to the disadvantage of Bill O'Reilly. He's undermatched. That's the problem.
Stephanopoulos sat there like a mummy, challenging nothing. The whole thing's absurd. Again, here are the facts. Black home ownership is up 2% under President Bush. Poverty spending is significantly higher under Bush than it was under Clinton. Educational spending for poor school districts is higher under Bush. And the poverty rate stood at 13.7% halfway through Clinton's tenure. It is 12.7% halfway through Bush's two terms.
Okay, I'm going to stop there and just address that last point. This is a common device that people use when they want to manipulate statistics. So, this whole thing about the poverty rates is being, what I want to say, is being manipulated in a way that makes Bush look good. And it, I assume O'Reilly's doing it intentionally. I can't believe it would be unintentional. But a similar example is Sean Hannity thinks of himself as a he's always complaining about the intellectual dishonesty on the left. But when the Bush tax cuts were coming out, there was a statistic being put around on the Bush talking points that said that the average tax cut would be like, I don't know, over $1,000, $1,100, whatever it was. Well, that's the average across everybody. The average Joes like you and me might have seen anywhere from $50 to $300, and some people are getting $80,000 tax cuts. But when you average them across all tax cuts, they do come out to $1,000. That's like saying, I have Bill Gates over to my house for a party and 40 other people. Okay? And Bill Gates, his assets are $80 billion, and let's just assume the rest of us are inconsequential. Well, 40 people and $80 billion, the average assets of the people in the room was $2 billion. Do you see how that's intellectually dishonest? There's one guy skewing the numbers. So what O'Reilly was claiming there was that the poverty rate stood at 13.7 points halfway through the Clinton administration and 12.7% halfway through the Bush administration. Well, it turns out that that number is correct, but it's the way he presented it. The poverty rate went down every year of the Clinton administration, and halfway through it was at 13.7%, but it had gone way up during the Reagan administration in the first 4 years of the George H.W. Bush administration. And so the 13.7 halfway through the Clinton tenure was, while it was on the way down, he did not cite the lowest number. And in fact, Clinton, in his statement that O'Reilly had just played at the beginning of that clip I played for you, said that, how did he put it? I don't know. Yeah, here it is. We concentrated tax cuts on our lower income workers and got the poverty rate down to its lowest level it had been or whatever. Well, that is all true. The rate went down every year, and at the end of the Clinton term, it was substantially below the 13.7% that O'Reilly's citing. But he may think, well, it's fair to say, let's go to the middle of the Bush term, the middle of the Clinton term, because Bush has four more years. The problem is the poverty rate has gone up every year in the Bush administration. So the trend in the Clinton years was down every year. So far, the trend in the poverty rate is up every year of the Bush administration. So assuming it continues, the problem is only going to get worse for Bush. And the real way to say this is poverty went down every year during the Clinton administration. It goes up every year during the Bush administration. But that's not what Bill O'Reilly chose to do. He took the midpoint of both administrations and claimed Bush is doing better on poverty. That is the definition of intellectual dishonesty.
This tax cuts for the rich business is also blatantly dishonest. It's a ruse for the secular left to institute their income redistribution scheme.
Whoa, I love that. The secular left to institute their income redistribution scheme. Well, let me parse this. So the secular left, what does secular have to do with it? There are people on the left that are liberal economically. That is, they want a progressive tax. They don't want to see the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. They want a progressive income tax that keeps the rich from getting richer while the poor get poorer. And what happens is, during the last 25 years, it's been the clearest I've seen in my lifetime. And that is that we had 12 years of Reagan-Bush, but it's the first Bush, in which most of the numbers went in the direction of the rich. And then during the Clinton years, the rich still got richer. CEO pay went up, all of that. But in fact, the poor did better. Everybody did better, frankly, because the Clinton years were boom years, as the 80s were for Reagan. Of course, the conservatives want to give Reagan credit for not only his own presidency, but for the economy during the Clinton years. A break with tradition which says every president gets credit or blame for the years he's in office. But the trend is pretty clear here, and that's just the way it works with Republicans or Democrats and where they target their tax cuts, all of that. But this idea that the secular left is putting in an income redistribution scheme, no, the left believes in a progressive income tax. And I can only assume the right does not. Now, they would say a fair tax, a flat tax might be a fair tax, they say. But in fact, we've showed on this show before how a flat tax is not a fair tax, that the rich get richer under a flat tax and the poor lose ground. So the advantage of a progressive income tax is that it helps redress some of the disadvantages or some of the skewing that happens in the free market system. Now, people worship the free market system like, oh, that's preordained, like it's part of natural law and handed down from God. I got news for you. The free market system is set up by men. I'm using the term mankind here. Women have a small piece of this. It's set up by people, and people set up the rules, and they put them in their favor if they can get away with it. So one of the reasons the rich get richer is the way the tax breaks are structured. You know, people complain about all these thousands of pages of tax code. Those are not set up mostly for the poor. They're set up for the people with money to give you breaks or to encourage certain kinds of behavior. But the tax system is man-made. The economy is man-made. It's not handed down from God. There's nothing about the free enterprise system that says, well, this is the way the world ought to be, and income is therefore distributed. And when government intervenes and taxes, they are redistributing wealth. No, it's all the distribution of wealth, both the free enterprise system and the government that puts it in place and keeps it running and polices it and decides it needs a certain amount of money to do all that and to build roads and bridges and keep out floodwaters and promote the general welfare. That whole system is man-made. And so it's not income redistribution, like the first is a distribution and government taxation is a redistribution. It's all one economic system, and it's distribution and redistribution all together. So this is a canard that the right has put together that says, well, once we get our hands on the money, we don't want anybody to touch it. Well, I'm sure you don't. But the way the system is set up, the government set it up, and the police that keeps civilization going and the military that keeps us stable and the behavior of citizens that keeps us stable, all of that allows people to amass fortunes. And the idea that you shouldn't pay for that, pay a disproportionate amount, is silly. The guy with the $1 billion has a lot more to conserve than the person that's in the Houston Astrodome right now with nothing. And so they ought to pay a bigger percentage to preserve the way of life that gives them this economic system, that gives them the protections, that allows them to keep their house on the hill with the four-car garage and the place in the islands and everything else. It's fine that they have it, but let's not pretend that they earned it through some preordained system that was set up before human beings got here. It was human beings that set up both parts of this system, both the way that you get the money initially and the way we take the money back. So when we as a society decide that the people with the most should spend the most to maintain the society, incidentally, the society that they've benefited from so much and the rules they've benefited from so much, please don't tell me that this is some sort of artificial taking of personal wealth. The original distribution of the personal wealth was just as artificial. That is, it was set up, quote, by the people. So when we come back, I'll return to the topic of Bill O'Reilly and the litany of his factual mistakes this week.
You remind me of someone I don't know, an old familiar face.